goodness. More than a song, there's a message there for sure, isn't it? And that sort of takes me back in time. And I can't go there. I'll start crying. Okay. Listen, this morning, early service, God just really stirred my heart as my brother David Blakely began to pray. And I asked him, will you please come back to the second service because and share the testimony that I asked him to share on the spot. This is totally unrehearsed, totally unplanned. But Brother David Blakely, if you don't know him, you're going to get to know him a little bit through his testimony, how God used, how God raised him up in an orphanage and how God, his heavenly Father, took care of him. And I just thought, after he prayed this morning, I thought, you've got to share that story. And I want him to do the same thing in the late service here. And so, Brother David, this is yours. You just do as the Lord leads you, okay?
Amen.
Yes, please. Come up here. I've got this just for you.
I'm sorry, y'all. I do have a very weak heart. And so that was the deal. He would let me sit and speak with you. Also, Brother Joe didn't want to cry, so he put me up here so I will cry for you. But I want to be transparent. Only then can people see God's grace through our lives. So don't ever be ashamed of tears when you describe your relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so that's what I'd like to do. Life is a journey, isn't it? We all have a story to tell. It's unique that my story is probably appropriate for Father's Day because I did not take the hand of my earthly father until I was age 21 and was introduced to him. But my heavenly father took my hand at the point of conception and has never, never turned loose. God is so faithful in each of our lives. So let me take you through briefly through my journey. I was born in a little town that only me and the Lord know about, and it's called Wilmot, Arkansas, Southeast Arkansas, cotton farming country, poor country. But a strange thing began to happen in the late 30s and early 40s, and that is family structures began to break up. And a new type orphan came out of that period, and we call them social orphans. Well, that's exactly what happened to us. I was the baby of three siblings. A year old when my mother and dad divorced. My dad went north. My mother came south somewhere, but the family didn't know exactly where. And so the three of us children, again, I was 1 year old. My sister was 8 and a brother 9. We were separated, passed around between the maternal side of our family for about a year. They cared for us. But they were young and had their own families, and so we were a burden that they didn't need. They felt like they had located our mother in, of all places, Port Arthur, Texas. And so it was impressed on them that they ought to try to make our mother assume her responsibilities for we three children. And so they did it in a most unique way. They placed we three children a note on each of us on a bus. The note read, when these children arrive in Port Arthur, Texas, deliver them to this address. So we three children then on a bus come into Port Arthur in the middle of the night, not a cent to our name. And so a kind bus driver got a kind taxi driver to deliver us to the house on 14th Street. They weren't able to raise anybody inside the house. They had already gone to bed for the night. So they left we three children on the porch there on 14th Street. Well, they tell me now, as the sun came up, I needed relief. This was before the days of throwaway diapers, okay? I had been in a soiled diaper for 24 hours, had half a bottle of soured milk. And so as the sun came up, I began to cry enough and loudly enough that it awakened the family inside, which was not where my mother lived. But you can imagine these people coming to their front door and seeing three children on their porch. Well, our mother was in Port Arthur, but she had made some poor choices in life. This was back in the days of World War II, and the Houston Avenue area was anything you can imagine. And so our mother had chosen to work in bars and as a car hop. Not a good choice in terms of trying to take care of three children. And so for the next 3 years, we were literally street children. Now, is Joyce Miles here? There she is. That's my sister in the Lord. I have to tell you, when Joyce came to this church, and I had overheard that she had been in Port Arthur Day Nursery at one time in her life, was a dear friend of my sister, the same age. And my sister and I could go there occasionally, but our brother was too old. And so he literally ran the streets 24/7, okay? But Joyce, when I introduced myself to her, she said, I knew a David Blakely one time, but he was a mean little boy. And that's true. We, for little children, we were street smart, and that's how we survived. And I know that's hard for you to relate to, but that was our reference point. It was on the street. We were befriended by a lot of good people in those 3 years. But someone had carried the message to the pastor of First Baptist Church, Port Arthur, that these children needed help. And that pastor was John M. Wright, who was a pastor there for many years at First Baptist Church, a personal friend of Hal F. Buckner, who was Father Buckner's son and was the administrator at Buckner Orphans Home in Dallas, Texas. So he counseled our mother and got her to agree to place we three children in Buckner Orphans Home. And so my most formative years in life were there at Buckner Orphans Home. They taught me many things. I was surrounded by good Christian people throughout that experience, but they taught me of my need for a Savior. They taught me of the value of relationships and that God is faithful. And so as I grew older and reflected over my life, I could see God's hand on me every step of the way. We were not alone on that porch in Port Arthur, Texas. We have not been alone any time since then. For example, my wife, I had a wonderful Christian wife, passed away 8 years ago. But God has drawn so close to me in these 8 years that I never feel alone. And so I want y'all to understand that. Secondly, I want you to understand that a Christian's life is one of relationships. And so especially for the young people, I want you to understand this. In my case, I told you I met my dad when I was 21, but I had a wonderful Christian wife who understood that we needed to build relationships. And so it was important, first of all, for my children to understand their heritage. And so we began to build relationships with both my mother, who lived in California, and my dad, who was from the Monroe, Louisiana area. In my dad's last year of life, he came down and lived with us. And he needed to understand that we had forgiven him. Now, we had to grow spiritually to be able to do that. When we consider as Christians all that we've been forgiven, how can we do any less to anybody else the Lord brings into our lives? And so we spent that year counseling with our dad. I say counseling because now I work with Buckner Ministries on a voluntary basis. But he needed to understand that we had forgiven him. And the sweetest part of all in this story is that he received the Lord as his Savior in the last year of his life, 86 years of age. And so it's never too late. But you have to build those relationships. Secondly, I want all of you to understand, and I know most our older ones do, but I want our younger people to understand the message I try to give to our Buckner children today. And that is the greatest joy in life is in service to the Lord. So be especially sensitive to opportunities for service to our Lord. And you will be filled with joy throughout your life. Thank you for letting me share this. I just want y'all to understand I am not perfect by a long shot. I've made a lot of mistakes. But when I needed wisdom, God has been there. When I needed comfort and encouragement, He has been there. He's with us every day, regardless of what's happening in our life, if we'll simply call out to Him. He waits patiently for us to call to Him. So go to Him. Use His life to bring honor and glory into your life. And then in turn, may the light of His love be reflected through your life, through His amazing grace. Be steadfast and firm in your faith. Be the dads that we need to be to these young people today. And then if there are broken relationships in your family, reach out to them. Because we've received so much grace in our own lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. You bet. You'll never meet a sweeter gentleman, and that's why I'm surprised to hear you acted like the devil when you were a little street urchin. We just don't know that side, but maybe Joyce could inform us, right? Oh, no, you can't go back on it now. enough of us have been little boys. We know. Well, thank you, Brother David. You understand why he needed to share that word. Some of you look at folks like Brother David, others, and you think, man, what a perfect life they must have lived. Truth of the matter is that it was a rather broken life. Well, what can we do as men to try to stand in the gap and certainly make up the difference? I wanted to talk to you about being a faithful man this morning, and I'm going to abbreviate what I was going to say just because I knew we needed to hear the message from Brother David's life. Proverbs chapter 20 speaks about the integrity of a man. Proverbs 20, verse 6. We're going to look at several verses from Proverbs in the little time that we have left. But it's very important because a faithful man is, Proverbs says, is hard to find. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? But a faithful man who can find? That's the question for us today. If you can find a man like this, you have found something that's rare. You found someone who's unique. You have found somebody that stands outside the norm and the average run-of-the-mill guy that's on the streets today. You're talking about somebody who stands head and shoulders above other people. And Proverbs says if you can find a man like this, sort of like the Proverbs 31, when it speaks about the virtuous woman. When you find a virtuous woman, I mean, she is a treasure. Hold on to her, okay, guys? Hold on to her. Make sure that you honor her and that you treasure her and that you respect her. But Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. This is what most men will do. In contrast to the man who's godly, to the man who has valued the Lord, who has made the Lord first in his life, this is the kind of person who doesn't exalt their own goodness, but they exalt in God's goodness in their life. You find a man like this, and this is what we need, gentlemen, today as men. We need a group of men who are willing to be faithful, who are committed to their families, who are committed to their Lord, to their God, who are committed men who stand head and shoulders above the run-of-the-mill, everyday guy that you can meet on the streets. Now, this is not so much a criticism of those guys. That's just where they are. Fact of the matter is Ephesians 2 says that we were all under the prince of the power of the air. We were all under the ruler of darkness at some point in our life. But this man is no longer in that position. This is the kind of man who follows after the Lord. He's hard to find. So when you find him, you're going to find that he's busy about several things. You're going to find this kind of man who's committed his heart to the Lord, who's committed his heart to his wife and to his children, and he's committed to those things. There are going to be days when you look at this man when he doesn't feel it, but he faiths it. You know what I'm talking about? This is the kind of man who continues to do what needs to be done, regardless of how he feels, regardless of the changing circumstances. This is the kind of man who rises head and shoulders above all others. His heart is toward his home. He's committed. He loves his children. He's not perfect, but he does love those kids. And he's committed to raising them to walk after the things of the Lord. He's faithful, the Bible says. He's a faithful man. He's reliable. He's somebody you can trust. He's somebody that you can count on. Faithful men are hard to find. And yet today, the reason why I believe we're facing the challenges that we are facing as a country is because more and more we have this Melvin Milquetoast kind of men that are being raised up who have no real conviction, no real morals, no values, no whatever other than what they can do to serve themselves. We're facing, I don't know if you know it or not, but look around, and I'm going to speak to this on the 4th of July. We're facing some real challenges as a country, aren't we? I mean, have you been reading the paper? Have you been watching the news? I mean, do you know what's happening in the White House down to your house? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's deeply concerning. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned. You say, well, you're being a little extremist. You're overreacting. I'm not an extremist. I am a realist. Reality says we better deal with it. And one of the ways that we can deal with this is that as men, individually, we can affect a society. We can affect a culture. We certainly can affect our families if we are faithful, if we are reliable, if we're trustworthy, if we're committed to the things that God wants us to be committed to, if we're committed to raising our families to walk after the Lord. And this little bit of religion stuff that you might be inoculating your kids with, it's dangerous stuff. Don't do that. If you're giving them a little bit of religion, gentlemen, you are poisoning your children. Because what's going to happen is they're going to grow up and you're going to give them a little bit of religious thing that happened over at First Baptist Church Groves. And Lord, help them from that. Spare them from that kind of thing. Sort of run them through our little program over here and put a little First Baptist Church stamp on them. If that's your idea of raising and discipling your children, you've missed it. You missed it. Stop doing it. Better that they, listen, I know this is going to sound crazy. Better that they grow up not getting any of that stuff at church. Better than to get some of the poison that sometimes we're putting into our children. That they get a little bit of religious stuff. Men, come on. Be faithful to the task. Be faithful to raising and discipling your family. Listen, when it's all said and done, you, gentlemen, are going to be held, and I am going to be held responsible for how we raised our children and how we modeled that for them. Not that you have to be perfect. I know sometimes as a man you think, you know, hey, I feel like I failed. You ever feel that way as a man? Feel like, man, I just don't feel like I've measured up. There's some things I'd like to do differently. I mean, you know, our kids are older now, I think back and I think, you know, what are some things I could do differently? Well, I certainly could show more love to their mother in our home. You say, well, Pastor, you didn't love your wife? I love her, you know. But you know how life gets busy for you? And things happen in the home. Listen, what they need to see and needed to see more of in our home is the fact that I love my wife like no other person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? That would be great. So you say, what can I do in my home in a tangible way? You can love your wife. I mean, just take care of her. Care for her. Your children will note that. They'll see that. In fact, the home is it's the lab. It's the place where kids are raised up and they see this and they look at how the husband and wife, their mother and father relate to one another. And ideally that is, I know that some of you, you're like Brother David and you didn't have that growing up. Some of you had parents in the home, but they were really disconnected. I know what that's like to have a dad in the home that's really disconnected from my life. I know what it's like to grow up in a home where the dad's an alcoholic and checks out most of the time. I know what it's like to have to grow up in a home where those things are going on and when, you know, he doesn't show up to the important things of your life. I know what that's like. But it's time to build a bridge. You know that? I know that. It's time to build a bridge. What could I do differently in my home? A faithful man begins to see these things and he understands, you know, I missed out on these things, but that's no excuse for me to continue to act that way and to, well, to, you know, to further that behavior. So what do you do, man? Be faithful. A faithful man is hard to find. If you can find a man like this, then you need to latch on to him. Hey, girls, you need to look around for a guy. Students, you need to look around for a guy who's going to be committed in this way. If he's not faithful, then, hey, just ship him out. Better to be single than to be hooked up with some guy who's just that have no concern, no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that wasn't a proper expression, excuse me, you know. But don't get connected to some guy that doesn't really care. Don't get connected to somebody like that. Fine. Look for him. Don't lower your standards. Look for a faithful one. Not a perfect one, but a faithful one. A faithful one. Man, what are you doing? I like what Patrick Henry wrote in his will. He said, I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There's one thing more I wish that I could give them, however, and that is the Christian religion. If they have that, and I had not given them even one shilling, they would be rich. If they have not this, and I have given them all the world, they will be poor. You can give them a lot of things, guys. But if you don't give them Jesus, a love for Jesus, then they'll be poor. They'll be poor. But if you give them Jesus, they'll be rich. You know, life is really pretty simple when you think about it. Jesus said it this way. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make it simple. Love God, love your neighbor. Isn't that simple? We could even say that together. Love God, love your neighbor, right? That's the summarized version of what Jesus said in Matthew 22. You teach your children to do that, you've given them a treasure. Fact of the matter, when you boil life down to its simplest form, you know what it gets down to? It gets down to a few things. The relationships in life. The people that you know. The dear people. Your father, your mother, your children, your grandchildren, the people around you, your friends. When it really gets down to it, when you really just boil this thing down to its simplest form, you know what it is? It's about relationships. And the only way to have great human relationships is to have the great relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you need to have a faithful man is hard to find. A faithful man has integrity. Notice what Proverbs 20 verse 7 says. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What does it mean to walk in integrity? He walks in integrity. It's not that one day he demonstrated in a decision some integrity. It's characteristic of his life. He's walking in it. It's how he lives. It's what he does. It's in the fabric of his being. Why? Because he's honored God's word. He's incorporated into his character, into his life, the very character and the nature of Jesus Christ. And then when we do that, not only does it make a great difference to us, but it makes a huge difference to the people who are around us. When you walk in integrity, you walk in wholeness, you walk with a sense of completeness, with the sense that, you know, hey, you have failed, but at the same time, God is strong and he carries you forward. There's a sense of well-being about your life. We need men with integrity. In fact, we need men with integrity who will be willing to stand not only in the gap for their families, but for our country. And as I said, I'm going to speak to this in a strong fashion on the 4th of July. The fact of the matter is that today our country is ebbing away and we need men and women for that matter. But we need people who are willing to stand up for the Lord and are going to be committed to this. I don't know if you've looked around, but we've got some serious problems going on. I know there's an oil spill in the Gulf and we're concerned because we live on the Gulf. But we've got some major problems across our country today. And how we act, men, and how we live our lives before the Lord and integrity is going to impact the well-being of this entire nation. You got to believe that. You got to believe your family's destiny. Your life is at stake. You got to be serious about this. This isn't some little thing that we're talking about. We're talking about being faithful as a man. You have to walk in the integrity that comes when you honor his word, when there's sound character, when you are determined in your pursuit of the things of the Lord. Be determined in those things. A faithful man has integrity, but there are some other characteristics here that I want to talk about. He is blessed, and he blesses his children because of his faithfulness. Notice in the last part of verse 7, because he says his children are blessed after him. There's something about you leaving a good name. A good name is indeed an important thing. In fact, the Bible tells us over and over and over that a good name is better than riches. Your name is important, and what you leave your children could affect their lives for a long time. In fact, a name is important. When you go and apply for a job and you list down there under references, you put what? You put people's names that you trust and that have integrity, so that when they look at your resume before they ever interview you, you might just get an interview if down at the reference section it says so-and-so's name that has a good name. And then they look at that name and say, well, you know, I know John Doe. And John Doe is a man. He is a fantastic, outstanding guy. I know that guy. I don't know who you are, Joe Worley, but I know John Doe. So come on in. Let me give you at least an interview. And these days, an interview is a big step, right? I mean, sometimes you don't even get through the door to talk to anybody. But just to get an interview, and then a good name can serve you in a significant way. You pass that name down to your children. What do you think it does for them? You say, well, that shouldn't really. No, it does help. It does help. It ought to help. Why shouldn't it help? The Bible says it will help. If you got a good one, if you have a bad one, you might want to change it. No, don't do that. You might just want to live in the community that you're at until you reestablish your character. Don't run from it. By the way, sometimes I see that happening. Don't run. Yeah, you blew it. You fouled it up. Your name, it's not good right now. You know what you do? You know, like our coaches used to say, son, just suck it up. You just got to suck it up, son. In other words, you want to quit. You want to leave the field. You're sweating. You feel like, oh, no, this is terrible. You just say, well, stay here. And I'm going to reestablish the name. It takes a long time to do that, by the way. But when you have a good name, you know what happens? It's a blessing to your children. It's a blessing. I won't go into a lot of personal stories. I don't want to sound like I'm just slamming my father. I didn't have the best circumstance growing up. But you know, one thing my dad did teach me was to work really hard. And he knew how to do that real well. And he knew how to honor his employer by working hard. I don't want to just slam my dad altogether. But you know, you do things, Dad, and it's not right. Children are embarrassed going to school, walking out in the community. You do things that become public to the community. I want you to think about it. In fact, just about the time you're tempted, because you know, men, we are tempted. If you're honest, you've been tempted probably many times in various ways. But just about the time you go stupid, just sort of think, what is about to happen? If I do that, what is going to happen to my children and my wife and my business and my whatever, okay? Just sort of shock yourself in that moment before you go crazy, okay? And then you can think about it and say, oh, I almost did that. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm embarrassed that I was even tempted to do it. I was embarrassed that I was on the threshold of doing it. I'm embarrassed in private. That's when you know you've done a good thing. You got embarrassed in private. Nobody knew about it but you. And you think, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me some wisdom and helping me to think straight. And then the fact that you acted on wisdom and you made a good choice. A faithful man becomes a blessing to his children. A faithful man will abound with many blessings. Proverbs 28, verse 20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. If you compromise yourself in the process of pursuit, listen, you want those toys, you want those things, you better be careful. Don't compromise yourself getting to the top, wherever the top is, wherever you are today, and you think, hey, I got to get there. Listen, if you get there and you sacrifice your children, guys, you sacrifice your relationship with your wife, is it worth it, really? Because you know what happens at the top? It's lonely. It's lonely. You interview people who have been very successful in life. This is not everyone, but I've read enough interviews and enough business journals, and certainly have talked to enough people to understand this. It's a lonely place. You get up there and think, here I am, and I have everything, but I don't have the most important people in my life. And then you get up there, because now you have whoever you have around you are people you don't know, and you can't even trust them. And so you're up there, and then you decide you don't want to be up there anymore. It's not as fun as it. It's not as glamorous as it once was. It's not what you thought it was going to be. Listen, try to avoid the I wish I would have done it differently syndrome. Be careful. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says this: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. When your children grow up and they do as they need to do, and they honor you in that process, and they honor the Lord, it brings a great deal of joy. Interesting enough that the writer of the Proverbs of Solomon here, Solomon writing this particular proverb, is saying that the father rejoices. It's the mother who's the grieving one. When the kids don't do exactly as they're supposed to do, it's really the mother who's grieving. There's a heaviness of the mother's heart to wonder what has happened to our family. What's going on here? What's going on here? Something else in Proverbs 28, verse 20, a faithful man has the right values. You've learned to prioritize and say, these are the things that are going to govern my success. Because you will be successful if you honor the Lord. Do you know that? If you honor the Lord, you will be successful. You raise children that walk after the Lord, you will be successful. If you just simply keep your life simple around the Lord, He will make you successful. He just will do it. He said, well, sound like one of those health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preachers. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying if you give $10 today, you'll get $100 tomorrow. Did I say that? I didn't say that, did I? So don't associate me with those false teachers, you know? But if you honor the Lord, you will be successful. You might live a very simple life, but if you honor the Lord, it will be a successful life. It will be a meaningful life. And the people around you, you'll have so many relationships. You look around, count the number of friends that you have. You say, well, I don't have a lot. Well, then show yourself to be friendly. But in the process of getting those friends, become friendly. You have friends. Look at the treasure you have. People that right now you could call. You could leave church this morning. You could get somebody. And you could call them right now and say, listen, I need some help. Or I just need to talk to somebody. And you know something? They would be there for you. Friends. Friends that have been there, not when it was all good, but I mean when it was falling apart. When things looked terrible in your life, they were there for you. Now, that's a friend. And that's a treasure. And that's not something you get by ascending to the top. That's something that you get by humbling yourself and coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, God, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. And He may speak that through somebody in your life. Listen, you have to prioritize your life. Maybe it's not about your career. Maybe it's not about that paycheck. Maybe it's not about the next little step in the ladder. It's just about saying, Lord, whatever I do, I want to honor you. A faithful man has integrity. A faithful man is something that we need in this country today. We need that in this church. You need it in your home. We need faithful, faithful men. Father was teaching his little boy about what a Christian is, and he went on and on about, you know, this is what a Christian is. Finally, his little son said something to him that just really stabbed him in his heart. He said, Father, have I ever seen a Christian? You can tell your kids about Jesus, and that's good. And describe to them what a Christian is, and that's wonderful. But in your home, you better be living it. It better be real if it's going to make any difference. Because they just may grow up to say, you know something? If that's what it is, I don't want anything to do with it. But if you give your life to Jesus, you commit your heart, men, listen, you commit your heart. Just imagine what God will do with your life. for all the baggage of my past and how I grew up and things, and Brother David, you know, and we all, there's story, you could, there's 100 different stories of stuff that happened in our life. You know what? Today, I believe that as a Christian, I have an edge on life. I have an advantage. I have an advantage. I can think differently and live differently because of God's grace and mercy. I can do that because of Him. Because of Him. I just have an advantage. Sometimes I think about this, I almost get giddy about it. Sort of like, I've got the playbook. I've got it. I've got all that. The Lord has given this to me. I know these things, not because it's like inside of me and I pulled it out and all the, no. I've been reading it in His Word. He's been giving me wisdom and insight, and I can look at my life and see it differently because of the Lord. I have an advantage. Anything I will ever do in my life, students, notice that. Anything, any one of us, if you follow Christ, it gives you an advantage. You have perspective, and it will change you. It will change you. But you have to begin by giving your heart to Jesus. That's where it starts. And that's why He sent you here today. Every one of us before we leave today would know, I know Jesus as my Savior. Let's pray together. As your heads are bowed this morning, man, I'm challenging you. I've been in your face about this. And you know, I'm not apologizing. But I want you to know today, if you haven't given your heart to Christ, why not today? All you have to do is confess Jesus as your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted. To repent means to have a change of mind. To come to view Jesus differently than you've ever seen Him before and understood Him before. And to see Him as the Savior who's come to die for you. Maybe you've never really thought about that, but that's what He did. He died for you. He died for me. When you confess Christ as your Savior, you're saying you're turning from all other things and you're turning to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. You don't have to trust in your perfections because you don't have them. If you think you do, you got to humble yourself now and just say, Lord, I don't have these perfections. I'm not perfect. But you're trusting in the perfections of Christ. He's perfect in every way. Would you confess Jesus as your Savior today? In this hymn of invitation that we're about to sing, this chorus, we're going to stand, and I want to encourage you just to step out from where you are. Come forward and grab our hand and say, listen, today I'm going public with my relationship with Christ, giving my life to Jesus today. Would you do that? Let's stand as we sing this chorus.